Let us pray. Eternal Father, we give thanks this morning for thy mercy, for thy grace. And Father, we pray even for this moment and this time that thy word is declared. May thou, O Lord, in thy mercy sanctify thy word. For indeed thy word is truth and thy word is power. I pray both for the hearing as well as the deliverance of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. Known as the Saint of the Gutter, the late Mother Teresa epitomized the meaning of charity. Headquartered in one of the most destitute places in the world, Calcutta, India, Mother Teresa tirelessly ministered to the poor and the dying. She was not afraid to embrace the lepers, neither was she afraid to wash their wounds. Undoubtedly, the late Mother Teresa encapsulated the call of Jesus Christ to lose one's life for the sake of God's kingdom and for his glory. But beneath this seemingly saintly disposition of the late Mother Teresa was a struggle with despair. In a book published some years ago titled Mother Teresa Come Be My Light, a compilation of some of the letters she wrote to one of her spiritual confidant, she detailed the struggle. And in one of the excerpts of that book, she said this, "Jesus has a special place for you," assuring our spiritual confidant. "But for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and I do not see, listen but do not hear, the tongue move in prayer but does not speak. I want you to pray for me that I let him have a free hand." But this struggle is not exclusive to the late Mother Teresa. It is a struggle common to Christians, even to those that we consider spiritual giants. In his popular book, Lectures to My Students, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote these words, "The fits of depression come over most of us. Usually cheerful as we may be, we must at intervals be cast down. The strong are not always vigorous. The wise are not always ready. The brave are not always courageous. The joyous are not always happy. Knowing by most painful experience what deep depression of spirit means, being visited therewith at seasons, by no means few or far between." Even the late Dr. Billy Graham once wrote, he said, "A Christian life is not a constant eye. I have moments of deep discouragement that I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me or help me." Loved ones, this struggle is common to many Christians. And usually the trigger is always adversity or some form of storms in our life or struggle or even simply trying to discern what God is doing. And I don't have to be a prophet this morning to know that some of you listening to me might be in this state. Some of you might be struggling with despair. Some of you might be struggling with discouragement. Or some of you might even be in a state of depression. But you know what? God is not oblivious to our struggle. That is why in his word, God gives us ways that we can overcome such feeling. God in his word, I believe, lays out for us how we can overcome despair. And this antidote can be found in a book or in the book of Psalms, in the writing of a man who, I believe, knew all too well what it means to go through this despair. And his name was David. And through David's writing in the psalm, I want to harvest for you four important things that you as a believer need to understand in order to overcome despair. And this is what's going to bring me to Psalm 27. Now, let's go into this book. Now, from the superscription at the top of the psalm, it is attributed to the pen of David. Now, unlike other psalms that David wrote, this one does not state the occasion or the event that prompted David to compose the psalm. But if you look closely at the context of this psalm, you can discern that David was struggling here. David was struggling with an undisclosed situation, a situation that caused him to fear, and a situation that was catapulting him into a state of despair. So when we begin at verse 1, David will write, beginning by using this unique Hebrew parallelism, he will write, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come up to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Now, I want you to pay close attention to those few verses. Notice what David does in the psalm. Instead of lamentation about what he was experiencing, we see this in Psalm 56 when David lamented to God about his suffering. Rather, here David began with an expression of an assurance in the great power and might of God. It begins by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Then he goes for saying, "The Lord is the defense of my life." What David does here is to shift his focus from his struggles to the assurance of God's sufficiency. Again, I want you to pay attention to this, loved ones. David shifts his focus from his struggle to the assurance of God's sufficiency. And I believe, loved ones, this is the first antidote to overcoming despair. You know, when struggling with despair, we must strive to shift our focus from our state of despondency to the assurance of God's presence and sufficiency. Can I repeat that? You know, when you and I are struggling with discouragement, when we're struggling with this sense of despair and depression, we must strive. And I want you to watch that verb. You must strive to shift your focus from your problems, from everything that seems to be overwhelming to you, and shift your focus to the assurance, the promises of God, that God is present and God is sufficient. You know, one thing I need to remind you of, loved ones, is this. Whenever we are going through problems, the mind is always that which is impacted the most. Because the mind is always the epic center of spiritual battle. As such, it is important for you to first of all gain mastery over your mind in this state that you might find yourself. And the way you gain mastery over your mind is through the renewal of your mind. And that renewal comes through understanding the promises of God, and that God has promised never to leave you, nor to forsake you. When your mind is renewed, your disposition will be renewed. When your mind is renewed, your actions and your conduct will be renewed. The reason many fail in this area of despair and discouragement is because they let the mind be saturated with their problems, and the devil now takes that foothold and begin to massage your struggle, begin to tell you how worthless you might think you or you are. It might begin to tell you that, you listen, you can't do this. And the more you believe is lies, the more you get entrapped into that state of despair. But rather, you must seek to now shift your focus. It's going to take a lot of work here, but you must have to work at it, moving your focus from your problems to the assurance that God is your light, God is your salvation, that Jesus is the defense of your life, that even when man rises against you, you are going to be confident because you know that the promises of God is yes and amen. You will excel. From these few first verses, we now can see the first antidote to overcoming despair. Now, David will continue. Look at verse 4. He said, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that which I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Verses 4 through 6. Now, I want to pay attention to what David does here. David actually transitions from the expression of assurance in the presence and sufficiency of God to a desire for intimacy with God. I want you to watch that. He desires intimacy with God. And loved ones, I'd like to suggest to you this morning that this is the second antidote to overcoming despair. You know, loved ones, when you are struggling with despair, always seek to find refuge in fellowship with God. You know, one thing that despair often triggers in most of our lives is what we call the crisis of faith. You know, the crisis of faith is that state where you begin to doubt God's love and God's care for you. When you begin to doubt if God truly hears you. When you begin to doubt whether God is truly close to you. And the devil often uses that as a foothold to begin to massage that doubt and begin to cause you to move further and further away from God. And there's been some people that have moved so far away from God that they've come to a state where they have lost what I call their faith. But that is why it's important for you to understand that when you face despair, when you face discouragement, when you face a state of depression because of everything going on around you, rather than move away from God, you need to move closer to God. Even if you don't feel like it, you need to press your way to find refuge. Watch that word. To find refuge. To find refuge in God. When you find refuge in God, that is where you begin now to understand that God has a purpose that you may not see. And the way you begin to find refuge in God is that you draw close to Him in His Word. You draw close to Him in His Word. Don't move away from God when you are struggling in any kinds of life adversity. Rather, move more towards God. Begin to spend time in His Word. Begin to spend time to meditate upon the Word of God. You know, the more you meditate upon the Word of God, the more you grow in fellowship with God. But not only that, you begin to join closer with those that are like-minded. You know, there's a power when believers come together and they begin to encourage one another. You know, you come to church and someone shares a testimony, and that testimony might even share or might even give you greater strength to understand that if God had done it for them, God is even more than able to do it for me. And that is what it means to get closer to God in fellowship. So this morning, if you're expressing this state of despair and you feel down and you feel as if everything around you and working out, you need to draw closer to God. Draw closer to Jesus. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. If you're weary and heavy laden, don't turn to nobody else. Turn to Jesus. It will give you rest for your soul. Jesus is the soul physician. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you all that you need to be able to stand in the midst of your struggle. And loved ones, this is what David does. He desired intimacy. And I truly believe for you to be able to overcome that state of despair and discouragement, desire intimacy. Seek refuge in fellowship with God. And the grace of God that is sufficient will keep you standing. So I want you to go again. Watch what David does. Begin at verse 7. In verse 7, David will say, Lord, hear me when I cry. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Again, loved ones, I want you to watch this set of verses here. What David does here. David now transitions from his desire for intimacy with God to an appeal for God's intervention grace. Watch that, loved ones. David transitions from his appeal for intimacy, or for his desire for intimacy. He now appeals to God. He appeals to God for his intervention grace. That Lord, I know that you've not forsaken me. Lord, I know that you've not hidden your face from me. Lord, I know that you've not abandoned me. Lord, I know that you've been my mother. You've been my father when my father and my mother forsook me. In other words, God, I know you can work on my behalf. Lord, you can change things that I cannot change. And loved ones, this is the key. When you are struggling with despair, don't go for the quick fix, but rather appeal for God's intervention grace. You know, one really tricky thing, not tricky, but one of the traps when we go into this state of discouragement or despair is that we want to fix our problem. The stress, we want to kind of get the stress down. And we tend to fall into destructive behaviors that ultimately destroys our life. But this is the key, loved ones. When you feel this sense of despair, when you feel kind of defeated and feel discouraged, what you need to do is to begin to pray for God's intervention grace. The intervention grace of God is that grace where you appeal to God to fight on your behalf. You know, the intervention grace can be seen in the story of Jehoshaphat. When the Lord reminded Jehoshaphat that the battle is not yours, that the battle is mine. That is intervention grace. That God is saying to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to fight on your behalf. All I want you to do is to go to the battle and let me do the fighting for you. And loved ones, that is what we appeal for. When we go through a time of distress, pray for God's intervention grace. Let God go and fight your battles for you. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. When your mother and your father forsook you, God will stand by you. You got to pray, God, go on my behalf. Go to my job that is ready to lay me off on my behalf. Lord, fight on my behalf. Lord, God, fight for my marriage on my behalf. Lord, fight for my health on my behalf. What you do there, you're praying the prayer of what I call intervention grace. That, Lord, the battle is not mine. The battle is yours. Lord, fight this battle on my behalf. I'm going to show up. But, Lord, you fight my battle. Go to those places where I can get to. Go to the conference room where they discuss my issue. Go to the doctor's office where he will conduct the test. And Lord God, let your glory be made manifest. You get that, loved ones? You get that? You pray for God to go ahead of you I'm beginning to straighten things out. I'm beginning to change things because the battle really does not belong to you. The battle belongs to God. Let God do the fighting. All you need to do is to put yourself on cruise control, right? And you show up and just say, Lord, I'm going to depend on you. Like David said, Lord, hear my voice when I cry out to you. David appealed to God. He said, listen, be gracious to me and answer me. He said, I'm seeking your face, oh God. That is what you begin to do in your time of despair. Intervention grace. But David will continue again. Begin at verse 11. He said, teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in a level path because of my fall. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For four weaknesses have risen up against me, and such as bred out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Watch what David does again here. He transitions from this notion of an appeal for God's intervention grace. Then it transitions to speaking to himself life. Watch what I just said. He spoke life to himself. He spoke life into his own experience. And he's calling himself that, listen, though I almost gave up, but he's saying to himself, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Yes, wait for the Lord. David spoke upon himself. Loved ones, this again is the antidote to overcoming despair. When you are facing despair, you have to learn to speak life to yourself. But most importantly, you have to learn to wait upon the Lord. Two things there that are important. You speak life to yourself in such a way that you remind yourself that you are a child of the living God. That you remind yourself that God you serve is still on his throne. That you remind yourself that you are joined heirs with Christ. That you remind yourself that what Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. You remind yourself that he has not yet appeared what you shall be. While you are on this physical level be going through this adversity, but God has got you covered, because for you the best is yet to come. And then the response you have to have then is that I'm going to wait upon God. No matter how long it takes, I don't mind waiting upon God. The situation might look so dire, but I'm still going to wait upon my God. Why? Because my God is working some things that I don't see. And those who wait upon the Lord, the Bible said they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. You got to learn to wait upon the Lord, no matter how critical the situation might be. You got to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm going to patiently wait for you. And when you patiently wait for God, and God uses that season to shape you, to mold you, when the fullness of time comes, God is going to manifest his glory in your life. God is going to manifest his glory. He will open doors. He will make a way for you out of no way. And when you as a believer come now and look back, you will know that all this long God has been preparing me for this great position. And God will now vindicate. It will exalt you in due season. Loved ones, this morning, I appeal to you. You can overcome despair. You can overcome discouragement. You can overcome your sense of disappointment or depression when you understand that God is still active. He's not asleep. He never sleep nor slumber. And he has you in his mind. May God give us all the grace to embrace God and to trust him to work it out. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we do thank thee this morning for mercy and for grace. We thank thee for thy sufficiency. We thank thee, Lord, that in thee, O Lord God, we are more than able. And Lord, we know no matter the battle that we face, we have a God who's a mighty warrior. God who's mighty in battle. We have a God who is the Lord of hosts. A God who fights on his people's behalf. Lord, may thou now in thy mercy help us that during even this season, we will stand upon your word, trusting that you, O Lord God, are more than able to work it out. Holy Father, into thy hands we commit this time of teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.